Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Today we're going to talk to assistant strength and conditioning coach Garrett Bailiff. He works with the baseball team. He works with the tennis team. We're going to talk a lot of baseball today as we are getting ready for start of fall baseball at Wichita State. Garrett played outfield for the Shockers from 2010 to 2014. In 2013, he was the MVP of the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament. He earned second-team All-Valley honors, a spot on the All-Defense team. He hit .379 that season, 9 doubles and 11 stolen bases. Garrett, let's go back to those Wichita State days, kind of get started here. Your dad, Barry, is a veterinarian in Tuttle. I know that back in those days when I talked to you, you talked about that upbringing. You did a lot of raising and showing of livestock. We always hear about farm kids and kind of that work ethic. How did that upbringing shape you and get you to where you are?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the discipline that goes along with that. Like you said, I was raised in the 4-H program and at FFA, and having that responsibility to care for those animals growing up, and seeing my dad also as a vet, take care of his business the right way and care for those animals, and have the discipline to go to work every day and put in the hours, and then him showing me the ropes through 4-H and FFA. But I think it all comes back to the discipline side of things, and having, because you'd have to feed them before school, you'd feed them after school, you'd walk them, you'd exercise them. So there was times where, you didn't really feel like getting up early and doing that kind of stuff, but you had to. You had an animal that was relying on you to do that stuff for them. So I think that discipline has helped me carry me through my career so far. So obviously played here and then had an opportunity to go to Oklahoma State and be in the weight room and worked under Rod Glass, who I consider kind of my main mentor in strength and conditioning. But he's also one of the hardest guys I've ever worked for, too. And that discipline that was instilled in me in an early age helped me a lot through that 3 years at Oklahoma State, just being disciplined and being on time and being, a detail-oriented guy, because that's what, Coach Glass wanted in the weight room. That's what he wanted on the field. So, and then going from Oklahoma State to here, I just kind of carried me to here. And coming here was a no-brainer. For me, baseball was kind of the end goal for me, to be in the weight room with a baseball team at the Division I level, because this is the level I played at, and this is the level I want to get back to. So when Wedge gave me the opportunity, it was a no-brainer for me to get back here and have an opportunity to coach where I played. Being here as a player, I didn't feel like we accomplished what we wanted to accomplish, my playing career here. And so if I can come back and have an opportunity to help these kids accomplish what they need to accomplish here and have success, then that's super important to me, and I don't take it lightly. So I think it's a big deal, and it's a big challenge trying to get the program going again. But for me to have the opportunity to come back and try to do something that I wasn't necessarily able to do as a player, as far as postseason runs and different things like that, I think it's a great opportunity for me.
I don't want to let the 4-H stuff go without a little more investigation. Do you have a favorite pig or favorite cow? Does one stand out as a great accomplishment?
Yeah. So I only showed pigs growing up. My dad did cattle and pigs growing up, but I only showed pigs. I did it from an early age. But I guess one, so you can make the sale at your state fairs, and so that's kind of how you make your money back from all the money that you've invested into the animal. So you got to be pretty lucky, and everything's kind of the stars have to align to actually make the sale. So in the Oklahoma City State Fair, that would probably been sophomore, junior year of high school, I had the opportunity to make the sale there and make a little bit of money, put a little cash in my pocket and cover all the expenses that pig had, or that animal had cost us over the year. So that was probably the biggest thing that happened in my FFA career.
Excellent. When you were here at Wichita State, you were well known for routines. I think you had time, you wanted to be in the batting cage before a game, you wanted to be doing those kind of things, which seems to really flow perfectly into your occupation. I would imagine strength conditioning is all about getting into routines.
No doubt.
why were those routines so important to you as a baseball player?
Well, I developed those routines from basically back in high school when I started getting real serious about baseball. I developed some pretty strict routines that I followed, and I just felt like it cleared my mind as I would go through my daily process, getting ready for a game or getting ready for practice. And I know basically I have a checklist in my head, and I go through that checklist and go through that daily routine, and it just kind of calms my nerves and calms my head and relaxes me a little bit. And I know that if I check those boxes off and go through my daily routine, that I'm completely prepared to compete that day or whatever it may be that I'm doing that day. So, it ties right along into strength conditioning too, because it's very routine, it's very monotonous sometimes. And these guys, the players will tell you too, we lift 3 days a week, and they're going to lift the same time 3 days a week, whether it be 6:30 in the morning or 9:30 or 8 o'clock. And they're going to be in the same groups and same workout groups and be around the same guys every day. And I tell our guys, we're going to master the fundamentals. We're going to master the movements. So we do a lot of the same stuff every day that they're in here, so we can master those movements. Because if we're changing them every day, they're not going to get proficient in that one movement. So I feel like our guys have embraced that and embraced kind of the grind. I don't like the term grind, because I don't necessarily think we're grinding a lot, but they've embraced that routine and embraced just the fundamental attitude of coming in here and mastering the movements, mastering the fundamentals, and just getting a little bit better each day.
So the importance of good routines, or the benefit of good routines, is that something you can really teach to athletes, or is that something they kind of just have to be that kind of person, or they're not?
I think you can teach it to a certain extent, but I think that each athlete has to kind of find their own way with that. So some guys are going to be very, very strict and regimented on what their routine is from day to day, and some guys maybe can get away with being a little bit looser with it. And I played with both types of guys. I was kind of on one end of the spectrum where I had my routine and I was not going to stray away from it, but I played with some really good players that they were a lot more looser and relaxed with their routine. So I think you just got to find what works for the individual. And from my experience, and that's kind of, I like to think that I'm in a unique situation, because I know what these guys are going through from a day-to-day basis, because I lived it, and I was literally lived it here at this university. So I know exactly what they're going through from a day-to-day basis. And so they can lean on me for advice as far as how to go about their day and how to get their bodies ready for a practice or for a game. And I can give them insight into how I did it when I played. And then on top of that, the education that I've had since then and the certifications that I have and the strength conditioning background now that I have, I can really dive in and let them know and educate them on how to get their best prepare their body for that day. So, but going back to the routine thing, I think it's more of an individual basis, and each guy's got to kind of find what works for them.
So you hit on something that I think is interesting about strength coaches and their relationship with the players, because they are, they're part of the coaching staff, but they're different from the coaching staff. And you spend so much time with these guys, you can kind of be a sounding board. I think strength coaches can act as a liaison between the coaching staff and players at different times. How do you approach that part of your job?
For sure. So like I said, I know what these guys are going through from a day-to-day basis because I lived it. And I get to spend more time with them a lot of times throughout the year than our staff does, just with NCAA rules and different things like that. I get to have access to them pretty much year-round. So I even tell that too when we have recruits on visits. It's like, make sure wherever you're visiting, wherever you have an opportunity to go visit, make sure you get to sit down and talk with your strength coach, because you're going to spend the most time with that person. Because just because of NCAA rules, baseball staff can't always be there, so, but yeah, being a sounding board, like you said, and being able to kind of play off of what the coach's attitudes are at practice. If they had a tough practice or a tough game, they can come in here and I can kind of be a sounding board for them, and they can kind of maybe let loose or release a little bit and just be able to talk about what's going on from, day to day and week to week, and what they're feeling, what their brain's thinking. And just kind of clear their head. And I think the weight room's a great spot for that too, just kind of as a stress reliever too. And so just trying to reciprocate or I guess kind of be have the opposite effect of what's going on at practice or what's going on in the game. If they're loose and they have a great game or whatever, maybe they're going to come in here. Sometimes they come in here and they think they have it all figured out because they've had a couple good games or a couple good weeks, and maybe that's my time to dial it up a little bit to keep them focused and keep them locked in to keep us everybody pulling the rope in the same direction. Or maybe they've had a tough day of practice or a tough game or a tough stretch of games, and maybe I back off a little bit. So it's up to me, and it's up to me to figure out that happy median and know when to push them and know when to pull back a little bit.
It seems like young athletes are getting more and more sophisticated with their, you know, strength training, weight training. They have more personal trainers than maybe they did 10 years ago or 15 years ago. Do you see that? Do kids walk in the door as a freshman, you know, having more experience in the weight room?
Yeah, 100%. And you know, I think that is a compliment to the personal trainers that they've worked with, but I also think it's the high school, at the high school level, the strength conditioning at the high school level has gotten so much better. And a lot of high schools are starting to make big investments in their strength conditioning programs, whether it be building new facilities and hiring actual full-time strength conditioning coaches rather than just having, you know, the football coach run it or the baseball coach run it. They're actually having certified experts, full-time strength coaches hired at the high school level. And so, you know, and just since I've been here and this going into year three, you know, this group of guys that have come in this year, young guys, they definitely have been in a weight room before and they know how to move and they're proficient in a lot of the movements that we're trying to teach here. They already know how to do so. But I think that, yeah, I think that goes back to just having really good high school strength and conditioning programs and that continuing to grow. And then on top of that, like you said, on the personal side, a lot of these guys do go to personal training or whatever it may be. And so they are definitely coming in more educated than they ever have.
So you mentioned coming back to Wichita State was always something that was, you know, one of your desires. What was it about your experience here that, you know, you set that as a goal?
Well, this is where I met my wife. You know, this is all my closest friends are the guys that I played with here. So it's just a special place for me. I enjoy going to school here. I enjoy the city of Wichita. I think it's a great, we have a 14-month-old at home now. I think it's a great place to raise a family. But you know, just building those relationships on the team, you get to college and you get to college baseball and you automatically have 40 to 50 guys that you can consider your family, right? And you do anything for. And, so just building those relationships, with the guys and having those guys that I still talk to on a weekly basis, you know, handful of guys that I played with that we still keep in touch. We try to get together at least once a year, hopefully twice a year, most of the time. Whether it be through hunting trips or golf trips or whatever it may be. So I think it comes back just to the relationship that I built here, obviously met my wife here, and just the history of the program. And like I said, I came in and, you know, 2 years before I got here, we were one win away from Omaha. The program was one win away from Omaha. The year before that, they were hosting the Super Regional here. And then once I got here, and it's sometimes hard to talk about for me, we just didn't have the success that we should have had. And it wasn't from lack of talent. It was just us not coming together as a team and doing what we needed to do. So I think I've always had that urge or that hunger to try to get back and to make it right, you know, in my eyes, because I felt like we definitely underachieved as a team when I was a player here. And I think I'm trying to let the kids know about my experiences here and why we didn't achieve what we should have achieved and try to help them, get this program back on track and get it back into the postseason where it belongs.
Who's the best golfer out of your group of former Shocker baseball players?
Oh, I'd like to say me, but that's definitely not true. I got a hard slice. So, Aaron LeBrie's not bad. And he's one of my closest friends from here. TJ McGreevy doesn't play bad golf. There's some guys that I'd never played with that might be better. I think Foster Vlock was a pretty good golfer. But the guys that I played with recently, LeBrie's not too bad. So.
And is he also the best hunter? That's what he does.
Oh, he says he's the best hunter?
No, isn't that his background?
Well, his family had a pheasant hunting lodge up in South Dakota. So yeah, he does a lot of hunting and we've gone up there for trips with kind of Wichita State baseball trips up there for hunting trips. And then he's also come down here to do some duck hunting and different things like that. So, yeah, we try to do something at least once a year.
Shocker baseball is never short on hunters and people who like to
Midwest,
fish.
Midwest, so yeah. we get a ton of that.
Okay, so freshman rolls in for his first day as a Shocker baseball player. What's the top advice you give them based on your playing career that you try to get them prepared and get them on the right track?
I think just taking it one day at a time. I think these guys get kind of bogged down when they look at, especially this is the most, probably the most baseball that they play because they're going to start playing baseball year round once they get here. And our staff does a good job of recruiting multi-sport athletes, and that just makes a more well-developed, more well-rounded athlete. But when they get here, it's baseball year-round. So I think they get a little bogged down by the fact that they look at the fall schedule, and it's going to be four-hour practices and you know, a month and a half straight of inter-squads and four-hour practices in the heat, and that can kind of get to them. So I think getting them to be patient and see, just take it one day at a time and just try to get a little bit better each day and not look at the big picture, just look at how can I get better today, and then I'll get everything I can out of this today. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow yet. Worry about that when it gets here. Just worry about how I can get better and compete today, and then we'll worry about tomorrow when it gets here.
I'm glad you mentioned the multi-sport athlete. I always enjoy that topic. Why do you think that's helpful? Why does this coaching staff take a hard look at those kind of people?
Well, traditionally they're just better athletes because they're just more well-rounded. They haven't we're seeing more and more overuse injuries, and especially in baseball, we see elbows at a younger age or shoulders at a younger age in the pitching population, and it's because they're specializing in baseball at a younger age. And so if you are playing multiple sports throughout high school or throughout, you know, junior high and high school, then you're exposed to a number of different movement patterns that if you were just to specialize in one sport, you're going to be moving the same way year round. And so that's when you start to see overuse injuries and soft tissue injuries, and maybe we have elbows or shoulders or whatever it may be. And if a kid's playing, say a kid's playing football and baseball, well, when he's playing football, he's going to put the baseball down. He's not going to be throwing. He's not probably not going to be hitting as much. So it gives his body time to recover. And he's moving in different planes and different movement patterns throughout football than he would be moving in baseball. So it just makes them a more well-rounded athlete. And, you know, in my opinion, I think it prevents a lot of injuries as well.
So you came to Wichita State in 2010. Take us through the strength and conditioning world. What have been the biggest changes in the past 10 or 11 years?
It's constantly changing. There's research coming out every day, new research that comes out every day, that's something you have to stay on top of constantly. I think the biggest thing from when I played here to now is kind of the recovery side of things. And I think when I played here, it was everywhere. It was like, we're going to grind, 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 push, push, push. And there wasn't really a big emphasis on recovery and off days and how do we utilize a recovery day or an off day to get our bodies prepared for the next high intensity day or high practice day or whatever it may be, or the next game. And so I think that's one of the biggest changes in strength conditioning and just sports performance in general, is just knowing when to back off and when to push. And we can't just push, push, push all the time. We have to be able to know when to back off and know when to have just a recovery day or just give them a complete day off. And I think that's why you see injuries going down, trending down rather than up when it comes to sports performance, because we've gotten pretty good at figuring out how to build guys up, ramp guys up when they get here in the fall, instead of just throwing them into inter squads right away, and then we end up having soft tissue injuries, whether it be hamstrings or quads, or pitchers go down with arm soreness so they can't throw half the fall. I think we do a much better job now of knowing how to ramp guys up and slowly progress guys so that we can decrease our risk of injury throughout the fall. And same goes into the spring. Once they're off and we don't see them for 4 weeks over the Christmas break, we have to do the same thing when they get back. So I think those ramp-up protocols, built-in recovery days, all that stuff is something that's definitely changed compared to when I played here.
So I'm sitting in your office and I see all kinds of power bars and nuts and things like that. How much has the nutrition been emphasized more in recent years?
Yeah, so I tell our guys, like, you can train as hard as you want till the cows come home, but if you don't have your nutrition and your sleep in line, you're never going to get everything that you want to get out of your body. You're never going to be training at a high level or competing at a high level if you're not taking care of your nutrition and you're not taking care of your sleep. So I'm fortunate that the baseball staff has put a huge emphasis on nutrition, so we have a fueling station, baseball-only fueling station, that comes out of the baseball budget, and that offers, you know, lunch options, sandwich options, grab-and-go options on the way to class, protein supplementation for after post-workouts. Something new that we're going to be adding this year is smoothies, post-practice smoothies. And that was with the help of Scooter and Wedge and the baseball staff, you know, being willing to spend money on some really nice blenders for us to have, and being willing to spend money on the ingredients and just continuing to try to make it a little bit better each year. And so when we got in this new facility, we had the fueling station, we started at kind of the ground floor, and we've been able to make upgrades every year. And that's a compliment to those guys across the hall. But like I said, if your nutrition and your sleep aren't in line, then everything else is going to be out of whack. So that's kind of what we preach to our guys.
I know I talked to you a year or two ago, and you talked about training movement first. Mm-hmm. Explain that.
So I get a lot of my ideas, and I learn a lot from a guy named Zach Dakin. He's the baseball guy at TCU. He's been there for a long time. He comes out with a lot of good educational material. Like I said, Rob Glass is, I consider, a mentor. I talk to him, you know, weekly or biweekly on the phone just to check in. Gary Capconio at Oklahoma State as well is a big mentor of mine. But as far as, you know, baseball-specific training, I lean on Zach a lot at TCU. And he's big on, he actually wrote a book called Movement Over Maxes, which I almost followed to a T at some point or sometimes throughout the year. But it's just ingraining these good fundamental sound movement patterns before we're adding a bunch of weight to the bar. And so if we add weight to dysfunction, we're setting them up for failure. So whether that be a soft tissue injury or something more serious down the road that could be career ending if we're putting weight on bad technique or bad movements. So if we can master good sound fundamental movement patterns in the weight room, then that's going to carry over to the field and you know, decrease our risk of injury. We can't prevent all injury. I don't like the term injury prevention, because injuries are going to happen no matter what you do, no matter how good your training is, no matter how good your recovery is, how good your nutrition is, injury is going to happen. But if we can't, we can definitely decrease the risk by doing the right things in the weight room, or in a conditioning session, or in an agility session, or whatever it may be, or in a recovery session. But if we're constantly harping on movement over maxes or movement quality over the weight on the bar, then that's just instilling those good movement patterns, and that's going to decrease our risk of injury. So that, and at the end of the day, I tell our staff, I tell recruits coming in, I tell our current players, my number one job as your strength coach is to keep you healthy. I want our baseball staff, when they come to the yard every day, to have a full roster to choose from. I don't want guys sitting on the bench next to me watching the game because they're hurt. So in order to do that, we do assessments. So Dan Cahill does a great job doing movement screens and range of motion assessments when our athletes first get in here. And then we base our programming off of those assessments, and that way we can individualize the program based on what that individual athlete needs. Instead of having a cookie-cutter approach or a one-size-fits-all program, we can individualize the program based on what that athlete needs, and that entails, or that goes along with decreasing the risk of injury, or doing what my number one job is to decrease the risk of injury.
So the Shockers rolled back into town over the last couple weeks. What's kind of the first order of business as a strength and conditioning coach? Are you assessing where they are after maybe they spent a summer in the Cape or the Northwoods League? How do you get started in August?
Yeah, so like I said, Dan's going to put them through assessments. And so that's the first thing before they ever have a workout, before they ever lift, they do anything with me. He puts them through an assessment to see just kind of how they do an assessment post-spring. So he did an assessment in the spring, in May, and then we did one in August, and we kind of compare the numbers. And then from there, we're able to develop a program based on what that athlete needs, whether he's lost range of motion in a certain joint or he's gained too much and he doesn't have enough active range of motion over that range of motion, so he doesn't have control over it. That's a sign of injury or could be leading to injury. So from there, we develop the program based on those assessments. And then the first 3 weeks back, we're just trying to get them moving again, because we haven't had eyes on most of them. We had, you know, 10 guys over the summer that trained with me, so I've had eyes on them all summer, so I know what they've been doing. I obviously send workouts to guys that are in the Cape or wherever they are throughout the summer, but I haven't had eyes on them. I don't know exactly what they've been doing. So the first 3 weeks back, we're just getting them moving. It's lighter percentages, more movement-based stuff rather than adding a bunch of weight to the bar. And basically, we're just trying to prepare them for today, which is the first day of team phase. We're trying to prepare their soft tissue, prepare their legs, prepare their arms for the spike in volume that they're about to experience in this first day of team phase and throughout the rest of the fall. So the first 3 weeks, first 4 weeks is just to prepare them for all that volume that they're about to have in the fall or in team phase. And then once we get them through that first couple weeks of team phase, then we can kind of start to push a little bit more in the weight room.
So you've got Coach Eric Wedge, obviously a lot of major league experience. Mike Pelfrey, the pitching coach, a lot of major league experience. Is there a difference between strength and conditioning at that level, at the major league level, and what colleges do, and how much kind of, you know, influence, input, feedback do the pro guys on the staff have on what you do?
They have a lot. They've done a great job of helping me out, and Wedge has put me in contact with some guys that he's worked with at the big league level that I bounce questions off of and I have contact with, and so that's been a huge help for me. I think the biggest difference is a lot of those guys at the highest level have a personal trainer guy, and instead of like a strength coach for the overall team. Now they do have strength coaches at the big league level, team strength coaches, but you know those guys go home in the off season and they have their personal guys. So I think it's much more individualized, and a lot of that has to do with whatever agency you're with. So talking about Pelfrey, he was with Scott Boras. They have their own guys that train all of his athletes. So it's a whole different animal. I can't speak for it because I wasn't at that level, but learning from Pelfrey, learning from Wedge, it just seems like it's a totally different animal.
Eric Wedge has talked about really liking the physical presence. I think those are the words he used when I talked to him earlier this week. Physical presence of this team. Tell us a little bit about that from your standpoint. What do the Shockers kind of look like? What are they measuring at?
Yeah, this is the most size that we've had from top to bottom since we've been here. This is going into our third year, and I'd say we were coming in our first year, we were pretty undersized. And even last year, we made big strides in the weight room and big strides with body composition. And they had put on a lot of good mass, but we were still, you know, still a little small, a little undersized. But they really put an emphasis on recruiting physicality and big physical guys. And you can definitely tell a difference in the overall roster from top to bottom this year compared to the last 2 years, just as far as muscle mass and height and just overall strength and ability.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.